Hello everyone, you're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
As we saw, and as you can verify when you look up into the sky tonight, there's objects out there and there's space. That's basically what the world consists of. And the two dimensions are within you. And humans have become lost in one. So we are here to realize that dimension. It cannot be realized in the future. It cannot be made into an object of a search, because it's here now. The moment you're looking for it, you create a future. Now, what is future? It's a thought form. Apart from that, there is no future except as a thought form. Cannot come except as now. So it's now the arising of space consciousness, or the realization of space consciousness is here now. For example, it happens when you acknowledge not only the words that you hear. Acknowledge simply means pay attention, notice. Just as noticing here, there are two dimensions, just the same as when you look up into the sky at night, you will find there are two dimensions. There are the words here, and there's a silent space or stillness in which the words happen.
Hello everyone, welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host. That was Monique Rhodes' album featuring Eckhart Tolle. On the power of now, the importance in trying to be as present as possible, in how we can show up. We can show up from a higher level of awareness where we feel like angels are guiding us, or we can show up in a way in which a lot of our past experiences that might have been a little traumatic or maybe just a little bit shady sometimes influences the power of our choices. It always pleases me when you take the time to join us on air, because I know that so many of our guests, they have so much to offer. And I learn from each guest that comes on the air, and I hope that they do too. And so as we charter through these interesting times of evolving and perhaps falling down and then evolving again and perhaps falling down, it's important that we all recognize that there's something still in the soul that needs some element of care, kindness, healing. Today, Sylvia Moss will be our special guest, and she's an accomplished photographer, healer, and angel. Angelologist, that's new for me. She has extensively photographed angel artworks worldwide, and her photographs have even appeared in periodicals and newspapers throughout the United States, which includes the New York Times, Dance Pages magazines, and Angels on Earth magazine. Sylvia's work has been exhibited at the MoMA Wales and the Cathedral of St. John the Divine solo exhibition and featured in galleries and in private collections for over 25 years. She's the co-author of several best-selling books, and her new book is entitled Angels of New York, A Meditative Photographic Journey. But in addition to this, her career as a photographer and author, she's also the founder of the Diamond Portals of Light Healing System and maintains a very active international healing and teaching practice. She's also a crystal singing bowl master alchemist. Gives me great pleasure to welcome Sylvia Moss to the air. Hi, Sylvia. Thanks for joining
Hello.
Us.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted.
Me too. So you know the first question I'm going to ask you, right? What in the world is an angelologist or an angelologist? It's a brain teaser.
So an angelologist, actually my editor when I was first working on the book said, "No, that's a made-up word. There's no such word." And I looked it up, and it's someone who knows a lot about angels. I mean, it's the bottom line.
Well, yeah. You know what? Add one more word to my understanding of the words in the dictionary. That is fantastic. I never knew that.
I hadn't either. And actually, there are two books, and I have them because they help me with my research. There's one, an encyclopedia of angels, and there's another one, the Dictionary of Angels, which is a very famous angel book. It's got names of angels you would have never heard of. Mm. And it's got angel writings. I mean, it's a fabulous book. So anybody who's interested in the history or just in angels, and they give stories about them, I mean, you know, biblical and others. So it's really great fun. Yeah.
Well, you piqued my interest. So now tell us, how did you become interested in the study of angels and especially angel art?
Well, it was one of those things that was evolutionary kind of thing. I think that I've always been interested in angels just because of them. I'm sure that their presence was in my life when I was a child. And actually, I wrote a little clip in the introductory of the book that my first introduction to angels, of you know, actually talking about them, was when my grandmother was very ill and almost dying, and I was called to the bedside, and she said, look, they're here, the angels. And, of course, I said, oh, yes. But she was actually seeing something because, you know, she was going to the other side. And I think ever since, I mean, that was when I was 14 or 13 years old. So the fact that I remember that so vividly, it just, when I started working on the book, I re-remembered. And I said, you know, I must have really been in touch with that side for a very long time, but not really knowing it because of this world that I live in or that we live in. But as far as the book is that because I was a photographer, I was always practicing in the beginning. I was, you know, like a street photographer, but of architecture because I love architecture. People I don't photograph very much, but art buildings I do. And I started noticing angels, you know, like the gargoyles on buildings in New York City. Not they weren't gargoyles, but they were angels. And so I started photographing. And then I, of course, was photographing angels in churches. And I just started discovering all this incredible art and the art of the depiction of angels. And so then a very close friend of mine, an Episcopal priest, I was photographing, just doing a short shoot of a church that they were going to do some renovation on. And we were on our way home, and he wanted to know what was going on with my angels because I had a couple of angels in an exhibition. It was Christmas time. And he said, you know, why don't you do a book on angels and call it Angels of New York? And, you know, it was just, afterwards, I knew he channeled it. I mean, he was definitely talking to God. I mean, it was just one of those moments that I still, when I'm telling you, I'm getting chills because it was just, you know, it's what I'd been waiting to hear.
So that
rest is history.
Can I tell you that I think New York is perfect for that because of just everything New York goes through, that you do sense that there are angels among New York City because the amount of things that have happened to that particular area and state, I don't know how they continue to be so resilient.
Yes.
Angels appear in the art and architecture of various religions and cultures.
Yes.
How would you explain the existence of angels, Sylvia?
The existence of angels. Well, to start with, this is sort of a common knowledge, but maybe not everybody knows it, that angels are messengers of God. They're here. This is my feeling and my belief. I think it's my belief is that I sort of look at them as like God's worker bees because they're always available to us. And I always tell people, and I always tell my clients that that you have to ask them for help. So their existence is God created them. The simpler way, I guess, I would explain it, it's kind of like hokey to me when I hear myself say it, but that God is so large, is so big, that we can't really most of us can't really conceive of that energy and that beingness. And the angels are more like us. They're closer to Earth. They're the closest spiritual beings to Earth, and then they're hierarchical. And so we can relate to that. And they are very high, of course, very high spiritual beings. And so their existence is here to, as when I was listening to the priest on the radio there, they're like holding our hands. They're our guides. They're our friend. I think that was one of the things that was for me as a child and having angels in my life. It was like your imaginary friend. And so they're here to help me get through life, in a way. I think
I love that. And I could see why they're important in our lives. And, you know, something that I liked a lot is the fact that angels don't really just have to be this idea of a cherub or, you know, something very subtle with wings. But it really could be just a human being with just a lot of virtues, just a lot of, right? Beauty in their spirit. Yes.
Because there, when I was doing the book, a couple of friends said, you know, well, why don't you put a couple of people who are very angelic in, you know, but that wasn't the book. But that they were on to exactly what you're saying. There are people who have that quality. I mean, and you can see it in them.
Yes, I'll agree. I know a lot of them. So let's talk about your book, Angels of New York. Tell us a little bit about it. And how did it come about?
Well, it came about when my friend, the Episcopal priest, said, you know, why don't you? And so I took off running with this idea of doing a book on angel and angel art in New York City. And I probably wouldn't have taken him up on it if I hadn't already seen some of them and been aware that there was such a thing. His name was Thomas Pike, and he was one of the landmark commissioners in New York City. And I asked him then to do the introduction to the book, which he did. But he would call me up and say, oh, listen, I just found out there's another angel. And then other people would tell me where there were angels because I didn't know where a lot of them were. And there's a group of them that are on a top of a building. There are six of them. And this most beautiful building, it's all like it almost looks like it's hand-carved. The front of it is totally carved. And then there are these six angels across the top. And I don't know if I'm answering your question.
How did the book start about? And you did share that it was the Episcopal priest. What's his name by chance?
His name is Thomas F. Pike, Reverend.
Okay,
He's retired now. But
yeah, I don't know why. I kept thinking of Lloyd Cannon Casson, who is also with St. John the Divine and Bishop Curry, too. Well, let's go into the book. How do you actually go about finding the places where angel statues can be found? In Washington, D.C., Sylvia, there is an installation that has been moving around for years and it's called Animal Art. And what they've done, they've shown like panda, the elephant, the donkey. And I always used to think, and I always wanted to find somebody who could do this, that we need to begin to install angels around Washington. So, right? Just when you're driving and you see an angel giving you so much love.
Yes.
You know, how would one go about finding the places where angel statues could actually be found?
Oh,
interesting,
really,
right?
Yeah, that's a really my first reaction would be Google it, as my friend always says when I ask her a question. So go Google it.
Go Google.
Yeah. You mean to find what angels in Washington or any place?
Well, you know, just places. I guess, you know, sometimes I don't know, maybe in a park, but I would also install one where perhaps there's a lot of crime, and I'll put a quote there. Perhaps I'll put one in the White House. Perhaps I'll put one on the grounds of Capitol Hill. I'll put one in schools. I don't know. I would put them not just in peaceful places, but in places that also yearn to find its peace.
Yes, yes. What's happened in New York, which I didn't realize, there are angel statues out in this, you know, in public, not in churches. Actually, there are more. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. But there are lots of angels in public places. And one that I'm thinking of, just what you're saying, in, you know, very high traffic or very, you know, dense kind of energy, is Columbus Circle in New York, which is a traffic circle. And so the traffic is going, it's actually a circle. You know, it's like one of those circles that the traffic has to move through. And it's at the foot of the Columbus statue. So there's this tall, tall column of Columbus at the top, you know, being very grand. And then at the bottom is this teenage, and he's in the book, this teenager angel looking at a globe. And the story is that the angel was Columbus's guide. So that angel is called the Angel of Discovery. So that's one of the things that they've done. And then there's the other very, 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 very famous angel, which is the Angel of Victory, on Fifth Avenue in gold. She's leading Sherman out of Atlanta. I think it's Atlanta. I'm not good at my history. But so the angels in New York are very, very present in high-trafficked area. And the other, well, probably the most famous angel of New York, because she's been in movies and she's been on TV, is the Bethesda angel. She has the most human traffic around her, probably, of any angel living or statue, because she's in the middle of Central Park. She's the top of a fountain, and she was put there because she was the angel of healing to heal the waters of New York when there was a cholera epidemic. And so they put in a new reservoir. Yeah. And so every weekend, this angel is surrounded by thousands of people and performance artists and, you know, and you name it, they're all there. And I'm sure that they don't know what's really happening, because the energy there is so yummy. And, of course, I think it's because the angel is there and because of what she represents. And she is the angel of healing, and she's named Bethesda after the story in the Bible that I quoted in the book about, you
much
know,
needed.
Come and I will heal you. Yeah, yeah.
Much needed.
Definitely. And I think a lot of the people more and more in New York City, I don't know about other places, when they see an angel like that in a public place, or when they see the book, or I tell them, you know, they'll say, "Well, where are they?" And I'll start quoting them and say, "There's really an angel there? I've never seen it." Like Columbus Circle, people. I mean, I hadn't either. I mean, it's remarkable. And then they build parks around them, and so so now the city is more attuned to bringing the attention, because the Columbus Circle one now has this beautiful park and it has fountains around it, and it's,
oh, great,
you know, it's really
great.
The attention has been brought. Yeah.
Well,
so
the subtitle, the subtitle of your book is A Meditative Photographic Journey. How is this a meditative journey, and how can angels communicate or heal us through photographs? I know that they do. I mean, in our Brahma Kumari centers all around the world, You know, there are mm-hmm. pictures of angels, whether they're on a mm-hmm. wall or they're living in some of the students or the teachers there. You can just mm-hmm. sense it. And for me, mm-hmm. what I experience is I become more detached and loving. Mm-hmm. My compassion increases. Mm-hmm. I become quieter. Mm-hmm. I become quieter. I definitely become more reflective. So for mm-hmm. you and maybe what you're expecting from your readers, I mean, how is it meditative and how do you think angels can communicate or heal us through photographs?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, my whole intention with the book, and it came midway with the book, it wasn't in the beginning. In the beginning, it was really, you know, what they represent and the spiritualness of it and the architecture. But midway, I realized if a person was looking at this, say you open the book and you turn a page or you turn a couple of pages and you find an angel that you really, you know, like and it really speaks to you in some way, and you just sit and be with it, it's a meditation. It becomes a meditation just in the nature of what it is and looking at it. And I found maybe midway also in photographing them that even in the photographing of them, I was in a meditation. I mean, I had such an amazing time photographing them because I was looking through this lens, so I was very, very focused. And something happened. Something happened to me by looking at this object. And I began to realize that the essence, let me see if I can say this correctly to make sense, that the essence that the angel that was being sculpted in the very beginning through the artist came through, because that's just the nature of the spirituality of this, that they're actually there. They're not just stone and wood or painting or glass, that there actually is the essence of the angel. And you might even say the angel in some way comes alive. Now, that might sound fanciful to some people, but I really believe that happens, because it did happen, because I could feel it. And I could, just what you're saying, like when you saw those angels and what happens to you, that mm-hmm. really happens when you read, when you're in the book, not just sort of skimming it. I'm sure you get a little bit of it, but mm-hmm. you really become, it just lifts out of the energy lifts out of the page and comes into your heart.
That's yes, I get that. I get that. I can feel that too. Why do you think we speak to angels, or why should we speak to angels? Why not speak to God directly in prayer and meditation? Is it just easier?
Yeah. that's pretty close. Yes, it is. And you know of Hildegard von Bingen?
No.
The German mystic nun, and then she became a bishop, and Google her. She's an amazing woman. And she did a book. This was in the 14th, 15th century. And mm-hmm. she did a book because she was a visionary. And she was, you know, she was also a nun and you know, many other things in that period. But she was also a visionary. And so she had visions of God and heaven. And she did paintings of them. And her explanation is that because the angels are hierarchical, they surround God. The whole mystical image of it is that God is very big and very powerful. And if we were to actually witness him like we witness angels, the light would be so strong that it would, you know, it could frighten people. So the angels come down and they are more like us. And some people have said that the reason that angels look like us is because that was the interpretation of the artist. So mm-hmm. angels are really a consciousness, and that's another way that we can communicate with them, because there's a consciousness to it and their energy.
And
I tell people, you know, they're all around us, and you just have to ask them, because their job is not to interfere, but to help us when we're needed. So it is easier. Yeah, it is just an easier thing. And we do both. We must do both. Because in prayer, I will talk to God, and I'll ask for certain angels. Or if it's just a shorthand, I'll say, you know, Michael or Gabriel, or you know, I'll ask them. And in my groups, I always call in the seven archangels of the earth, you know, because they're protectors and they're the worker angels. So it's very complex. So,
right.
But I'm glad you asked that question because a lot of people do. Well, why don't I just pray to God? And I say, you should.
Yeah, I think but so too. Do you have any upcoming projects or events?
Yeah, well, my events I do with the crystal bowls. I do sound baths, and now I'm doing sound bath activations where I do more prayer with the bowls, and I make it more into a more ritualistic. Of bringing in more angels and bringing in prayer in the beginning and having the masters work and do some healings within the crystal bowl ceremony. Then my next project is actually based on my book, which is an angel card deck. And if people don't know what card decks are, that's sort of short for tarot, but it's not a tarot deck at all. It's a healing tool, and they are cards. And some people call them wisdom cards, but what I've done is I've based them on the book. I've taken angels from the book, and then that's about half of the deck, and then the other half are angels that I photographed in Rome because I was going to do a book on Rome, but I decided that was too large to do. There are 52 cards, so there are 52 angels, and there's about 30 angels from Rome and a couple from Russia. And they're very beautiful, and it's called The Angels Speak. And their messages, I channeled the messages from each picture. I would tune into the picture. And
that's
so they're
fantastic.
A healing tool for transformation, for people who, you know, want to continue their work or whatever they're doing and pull a card a day. And they're really, we're right in the middle. I have a designer that's, you know, designing the cards, and they're very beautiful. So I'm very excited.
Congratulations.
So they should be out for Christmas. Thank you.
Oh, great.
Thank you very much.
Great. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can our listeners find information about that and your book?
Ah, yes. Well, I have a new website, and that's called Sylvia, S-Y-L-V-I-A, then Moss, M-O-S-S, .com. And it actually has on the page, it's called Store. When you look in the navigation place, the top, there's a little thing that says Store, and it has a little blurb about the angel cards, and there's a picture of the back of the angel so they can get a glimpse of what they might look like. The website tells all about what I do, and I'm very excited about it because it's very beautiful, I think. And it has a lot of my photographs on it.
Perfect, perfect. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to give you my email, which is sylvia@sylviamoss.com.
Perfect. I've got one pressing question before I end the interview. And how much have you changed as a result of this last book?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that brings tears up. I think a lot because my life has taken off and done remarkable things and with remarkable people. And I think I'm a changed human being. I really do. Yeah, and you know, I've never thought of it that way because, yes, it is since the book.
Because
I also had to dig really deep in the writing and doing research on them. And I really got in touch with a side of myself that I didn't know was there.
I bet it brought out just the best of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I'm doing a healing program. I'm in training for it that we're doing going to do very large groups of distance healing and using very high energies, and it's called fifth dimensional work. And so all of that has evolved since my book. You're right. Oh, thank you for that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Sylvia Moss, thank you so much for your work.
Oh, thank you so much for this interview. I've really enjoyed it.
Take care.
Good luck to you with your work.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
They're angels all around us, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that, like Sylvia Moss was just sharing, it will change your life, especially when you're digging deep into some of the specialities of the angels. And I highly recommend her book, Angels of New York, A Meditative Photographic Journey. You and I both know that when we do see images, it impacts ourselves, our emotions, our psyche. It impacts everything. Just imagine getting up every day, perhaps, turning one leaf, diving into the experience or the presence of that angel. Just think about how your day would go, and imagine if you did that for the whole year. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed our conversation. For more information with Sylvia Moss, just go to her website. I think she gave us that, which was SylviaMoss.com, and to get a copy of the book, AngelsOfNewYorkBook.com. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. We really are here to love each other the same. So let's do that, because we need a lot of love in our world today, don't we? So I'm going to end today with one wish from Bliss, and take care, everyone. Be kind.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.